The title of today's message is Your Yes is the Making of You. Your yes is the making of you. Following Jesus, following God will be the making of you. It doesn't go without risk, without trials, without sacrifice, but it is in following Jesus that we become who we were created to be. Exodus chapters 8 to 13-ish tell us about Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. So the Israelites had been in Egypt for over 450 years, enslaved to Pharaoh, working in excruciating conditions and treated absolutely cruelly. Moses, born to a Hebrew family, when the Hebrew boys were being killed off, was placed in that basket as a baby, put down the river, found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was then raised as an Egyptian. I'm not going to go through all the story of Moses now, but I do encourage you to go back and read through the story of Moses as we unpack this today. And also, I guess this is kind of where it stemmed from, on Netflix, I'm not here to advertise Netflix, but on Netflix there's the three-part Moses story, and it's really, really, really good. Yes, got an amen. So I do encourage you, go, it's part acting, it's part interviewing different people, but it's a really good, it's just three parts. Watch one a night, it's fantastic. Or you could binge watch and watch them all. Anyway, chapters 8 to 13 speak of the 10 plagues that come down to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. During the plagues, Pharaoh would say to Moses, "If you stop this current plague, I will let your people go, but you just can't take your livestock. Or I will stop this current plague. If you stop that current plague, I will let your people go, but you can't take the woman and the children." Hope was given by Pharaoh, and hope was received by the Israelites, who would then prepare to leave, only for that to be stripped away from them again when Pharaoh would change his mind. The final straw for Pharaoh came in the 10th plague. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, or you can just listen to my voice, Exodus 12, verse 31 is where we're going to pick it up. Exodus 12, 31. "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go, and also bless me.' The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and to leave the country, for otherwise, they said, 'We will all die.' So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs and wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed, and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for." So Moses now begins to lead the people out of Egypt. Now that sounds easy, but it says, if you read on, that there were 600,000 men. You then add the woman and the children, you've got over 1 million people leaving Egypt. But here now is their time to come to leave and to make their choice that they are going to leave Egypt behind them. They are going to go and worship their God freely and to enter the promised land. I'm going to pause that there. We're going to jump into the New Testament now, into Matthew 4, 18 to 22. So what's happening here is that John the Baptist has just been arrested, and he's been put in prison. That seems to be Jesus' cue to begin his ministry. And the first place that Jesus speaks is in Galilee. And his message that he speaks there and the message that he continues to speak as he goes forward is to announce that the kingdom of God is near, to proclaim that there is a new way to living, that the way of Babylon, that the way of the empires, that the way that people were currently living on earth was not the way of heaven and is not the way of God. He was saying to those that were gathered there that it's time to repent of these ways, which in other words means to rethink. Rethink. Repent and turn away, meaning to rethink everything. Rethink how you are doing everything. And, you know, Jesus was speaking to people just like us. Like Pastor Alan said, it will stick in your minds once you hear that. He said that last week, right, that when Jesus was speaking to the rich, he was speaking to people like us. The people that were gathered here were people like us, and they were actually quite happy with how life was at the time. They were actually quite okay with the status quo. They were okay with the Babylon, the way of the world, how that was at the time. And yet Jesus is inviting them and encouraging them to rethink this. And then it's after this message that he goes and calls his disciples. He begins to call his 12 apostles, who alongside Jesus will look to remake a new Israel that is not based on law and rules and religious ways and righteous ways, but is based on faith and baptism and walking in obedience with Jesus. So Matthew 4:18 to 22, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon, his other name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were putting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, Jesus saw two other brothers. They were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them. At once they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." The Israelites were called to follow God through Moses out of Egypt. The disciples were called to follow Jesus. They had a choice. They could have said no. But it is in their yes that that became the making of them. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus didn't say, "Follow me and I will take you." "Follow me and I will make you." He is the making of us. And it is in the process of becoming that begins when we choose to follow God. For over 450 years, the Israelites had only ever known Egypt. That's all they'd known. For generation after generation, they were born as slaves, raised as slaves, died as slaves. They knew nothing else. Of course they dreamed of freedom. You would. You would dream of freedom. But they were also living in the fear that Pharaoh would again change his mind and make life even harder for them, as he did. They didn't know what life would be like for them once they left Egypt. And to be honest, had they known that they would be walking in the wilderness for 40 years, perhaps some of them wouldn't have chosen to leave. We don't know. But they had a choice. They could have said no to Moses. They could have said no to God. But they left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, and they followed God into the Promised Land. Peter and Andrew had a choice. They could have said no to Jesus. They could have said no to the stranger that was calling them. But they left their boat, they left their livelihood, and they followed him. James and John had a choice. They could have said no to Jesus. They could have said no to the stranger who was calling them. But they left their father, they left their family, and followed him. We have a choice. We can say no to following Jesus. We can say no to his ways and his calling. But it is in our yes that is the making of us. "Follow me and I will make you." I will be the making of you. And that doesn't come without risk. It doesn't come without sacrifice, and it doesn't come without trials. For those Israelites, they had a huge mind game at play. 40 years they were in the wilderness. 40 years. That's older than me. Of course, they would have questioned what they had done. Their mind would have taken them back to what they had known in Egypt. Even though that wasn't great, their mind would have taken them back there. The signs were there that God was with them. They had seen the miraculous. They had seen the extraordinary. They had seen the obvious signs that God was with them. But they would have battled the mind game of what they had known versus where they were now, wandering around for in circles. For they don't know. They didn't know it was only going to be 40 years. They didn't know the end of that. They just knew that they were wandering. However, it was in their yes to leaving Egypt, and it was in their wandering that they were on the road to becoming. Would we have known their story had they stayed in Egypt? Possibly not. For Andrew and Peter, they risked their livelihood to follow Jesus. They put down their nets. They put down their livelihood to follow Jesus. James and John risked leaving their family. They left their father. They left their family to follow Jesus. Risking finance and leaving family are the two biggest things that you can risk. But again, it was in their yes and in following Jesus that that became the making of them. Would we have known about these men without their yes? Would we have as many Johns and James running around our world if they didn't say yes? Just over 4 years ago, Pastors Alan and Eleanor asked Sean and I if we would come out here and lead. And as Pastor Eleanor said last week, ours was a timid yes for many reasons that Andy has already spoken this morning. It was a timid yes because we didn't think we were up to it. We didn't want the title of pastor. Our hearts have always just been to serve however we can, wherever we can. It was a timid yes because whilst we knew that this was something that God was perhaps prompting and leading us into, we just didn't think we had the capability. And to be real with you, a no would have come a lot easier than a yes. And not only would the no have been easier, the no would have actually been justified. It would have been justified. We both had and currently have other jobs. Sean leading international needs. I'm a primary school teacher at Bethlehem College. We had a young family. I think when we started, Nate was 5, Caden was 2, and then later that year we became pregnant with Sophia. We knew that it was something that God was prompting us to. And in doing so, he was able to grow the gifts that were within us and use the gifts that he had placed within us. Has that been a straightforward road? No. It's not been easy with Sean's travel. It's not been easy with a young family and with work commitments and leading a church through COVID. Any church that has gone through COVID or any person who's gone through COVID, it's not been an easy time. And we've missed the mark in many ways, and for that we just thank you for your love and graciousness towards us. But in so many ways, this timid yes just over 4 years ago has been part of the making of us. And we're incredibly grateful for that. We have grown individually. We have grown stronger in our relationship with Jesus. Our marriage has grown stronger. Our children love coming to church. I was saying to Annie last week, we took our children out for dinner on Monday night to thank them for being part of North. And, you know, this is very much about them as it is about us. So we went out as a family to celebrate, and Nate burst into tears because he didn't want to leave North. And that says it all for us, is that this place has become home and family. Our family has benefited greatly. We have been enriched in saying yes to Jesus. But with that and with everything in life, we always need to keep listening to Jesus. Our yes is not a one-time response. We need to continually listen to God's calling. And for us, in this example that I'm using, we feel that God is leading us to a new yes. And again, that is not without grief and without sacrifice. Søren Kierkegaard said this, "Life can be only understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. How true is that? Hindsight is such a good thing, and we often look back and we go, had I done that, or I could have done that, or I should have, or I would have, or I, you know, absolutely, we could have done things differently. But we have to live our life forward, and the way we live our life forward is making sure that we are attuned to God's heart, our eyes are fixed on Him, if we are doing what we can to hear His voice and following Him with our yes, we will be on the right track, and we will be in alignment with Him. We all have our Egypts, like the Israelites. We all have our fishing boats. We all have our family, physically and mentally, that place that we leave behind, that we have left for good reason, and to allow our yes to lead the way. It could be a place, it could be a way of living, it could be a relationship, it could be a workplace. But we can also second guess that yes. You know, often when we say yes originally, it's with excitement and it's rewarding and it's great. We've got purpose, we've got alignment. We seem to have the answers to life. We know what is up and down and left and right. We can get comfortable with that until we're not comfortable, until something shakes that. And that is why our yes needs to be an ongoing and continual yes to the call of God on our lives. Our yes needs to be an ongoing and continual yes to repenting or rethinking the way in which we are living. To know Jesus is the reward. That's the reward to our yes, and it will be the making of us. Come and I will make you fishers of men. To know Jesus is the reward, and you will then know who you are meant to be and what you are meant to be doing. Absolutely, there will be tough times and times when you feel like you are drowning, but Jesus is there to pick you up. I can only speak from what I know and from what I have experienced, but there is no greater reward for me than walking hand in hand with my Jesus. Following Him always with my yes, allowing Him to be the one who makes me and molds me. Even when I muck up, fall short, get it wrong, because we do. Knowing that I can come back to Him, that He invites me to rethink things, He asks me to rethink things, I can get back into alignment with Him. There is no greater reward in my yes than that. And this is not just for a select few. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Jesus is for all people. He was for the Israelites, yes. But if you go back a book in the Bible, He was for Hagar as well, an Egyptian. He was for Ruth, a Moabite. There is neither Jew nor Gentile in the kingdom of God. He is for all humanity. He is for all people, and He came for all people, not just a select few. The invitation to know Him, to follow Him, is a call for all. There are no better hands to be in than the hands of Jesus. As Isaiah the prophet said, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand." We're going to take time this morning where we just think about our yes. What is our yes? Is our yes this morning the best yes you'll ever make, which is to follow Jesus? Is your yes to hearing God's voice and saying, "What is next?" Like the position we're currently in, what is next, Lord? Speak to me. Here's my yes. Or is it just a simple yet profound, here is my continual, ongoing, and always yes? So as we sing a song together, just reflect. Reflect, what is your yes this morning? What is God speaking to you about this morning? There will be sacrifice, there will be heartache, but there is no greater reward in saying yes, because it will be the making of you.